his way back to God. But since man is weak, that is the clear message of the Bible. Since man is weak, we did not manage to come back to God. Although he gave us all these laws and regulations and stuff to regulate our relationship and our fellowship with God, we never succeeded. And the whole Old Testament and the story of the people of Israel is a good picture of that, that it goes back and forth, and God restores them, and then they forget about God, and they are back into captivity and so on. It goes back and forth all the time. But then when Jesus proclaimed, the time has come, it's like God puts down his feet and say, okay guys, you tried on your own and it did not succeed. Now I'm taking over. Okay? So when Christ comes and when God sends his son, it's like he comes to do what we could not do for ourselves. Amen? And that is actually the message of the gospel. But we are so used to live in this world. We are so used, and we are also so formed of this world. The world has formed us very, very much. And if you don't think you are formed of the world, it's just that the forming of the world has been so successful with you, so you don't even know that you are formed of the world. So then you're in even worse shape than you think. And that's generally the case. We try to paint a better picture of us than actually is the case. But the world has formed us, so when we are exposed to the kingdom of God, it feels a little bit awkward to us. It feels a little bit strange. I mean, when Jesus comes, that's the message of Isaiah, for example. You know, Isaiah, he is prophesying many, many years before Christ, and he prophesies. One way to see it is he looks at the world, and what does he see? He sees anxiety, he sees wars, he sees problems, he sees people are suffering, he sees sickness and disease and everything. And he prophesies and says that there will not forever, this situation will not forever remain like this. But there will come a time. And I mean that is all the prophecies, and all, and not only prophecies, but all human hope lies in this. Now I have a bad time, but I hope there will be another time. Have you felt that about your own life? Have you? Yeah? Now I have problems, now I have issues, now I've struggled, but I hope there will come a time. And then we put on goals for us. If I do this and if I do that, then perhaps I will manage to climb out of my situation and experience these better times, because we long for that. We are not created for suffering. Amen. We are not created for feeling pain. We are created, actually, if you read the initial purpose by God, we are created to enjoy the creation. The creation was created for our enjoyment and for our pleasure. So we are not created to suffer. And suffering is a very bad part of our life. So we long for that, to come out of this suffering. And so Isaiah prophesies about that in Isaiah chapter 9 from the beginning. And because he says, to the people walking in darkness, they will see a great light. Amen? For those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light will be dawned. And so on. He goes on. But then I think, I like to fantasize. I don't know about you, but I like to think about, when I read the Bible, I like to think, what did they think when they wrote this? Because now, you know, he's a prophet. For us, it's easy to interpret the prophecy, because we have the result. You know, when you do the math test in school, it's very easy to know how to do it if you have the result. And sometimes I know, because we always cheat sometimes. Sometimes you have cheated and you brought the result with you in the test, or when you were practicing, you looked at the result, and then the answer was very easy to understand. Am I right? How about your holy guys? You never cheat. Okay. So for us, it's very easy, and we say, of course, this is obvious. But can you imagine for Isaiah, when he was prophesying this, he was prophesying of this bright future, about this solution that would come, about this light that was given to people in oppression, delivering them from the bondage, delivering them from slavery, doing all of these things so they will live in this bright future. And then when he talked about this, about the war that will be over and the boots that have been used in war, they will be burnt and so on. All of these great things. And then God tells him to prophesy further, and then he has to write this. And I wonder if we could go back and ask him, what did you feel when you wrote this? Because the solution for all of these things, the solution for all these problems, for all this torment that people were experiencing, was for to us a child is born. What? I mean, a child is born. What can a child do? What can a child accomplish? I mean, if this is going to end, we need a great king. And if you read the story of the people of Israel, that was always their desire. Give us a king. And God finally was, I need to use my words carefully. God was finally, he was finally. And then he said, okay, if you want a king, here you have a king. Okay? And that king created a lot of problems and so on. Because God was supposed to be their king. But if a solution to my problem should come, it should be something big. It should be something strong and powerful. And then Isaiah says, a child is born. And you can see that also when we are reading the Christmas text. You can see that also when the wise men come and look for the newborn king of Israel, they look in the palace. They go to the king and ask, where is the newborn king? And they go to the wrong places. And that's just it. Our problem is that we so often go to the wrong places for our solution. And now I'm not talking about you going to the bar or something like that. That's not what I'm talking about. But generally, when we look at solutions to our problems, we usually go to the wrong place, as the wise men did. They looked at in the temple, and they had to go, led by the star, they came to a manger, to a stable? No, what is it called? Stable, yeah? And they came to these poor circumstances. They saw this young couple, not rich at all, and they saw this Jesus, this baby Jesus lying in the manger. And they said, what? Is this the savior of the world? Is this the one that will bring salvation? When Isaiah prophesied a child will be born, will that be the solution? And that's one of the key, that's my message to today, that the kingdom of God is so different. The kingdom of God is not regulated by the laws of the world that we are living in. Because the world that we are living in, it talks always about the strong, the powerful, the beautiful, the famous ones, and so on. And that is not only the problem outside the church. That's the same problem inside the church. Yeah? Because we are so formed by the mentality of this world. Because we were born here. Were you? Yeah? You did not come from Mars or any place else? Not yet, at least. So we were born here, we were formed here, and to us, it's so difficult to understand and to comprehend when the Bible says, when Paul says, when I'm weak, I'm strong. What is that? I mean, we should not be religious about it. Oh, when I'm weak, I'm strong. It sounds so good. What is it? Because the solution, the result should be that we come out of the pain. The result should be that we find a life that is sustainable. When I'm weak, I'm strong. It's really kingdom upside down. It's really when you can imagine. When kings are born, they're born in the palace. Imagine when the Son of God is born. I mean, what palace should he be born? The best one, of course. Because he's the Son of God. And he came like a poor child living under poor circumstances. And he was the Savior of this world. He is your Savior. And the kingdom that Jesus came to proclaim was a very different kingdom than what we think about. If you read from Mark, for example, it's amazing. This is a good example. Let her go around. She is my best illustration for this sermon. That's good. Because when Jesus tries to explain the kingdom, he so often uses the children. Yeah? He so often uses the children. It says in Mark chapter 10 and from verse 13 that people were bringing little children to Jesus to have him touch them, but the disciples rebuked them. When Jesus saw this, he was indignant. He said to them, "Let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. I tell you the truth, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it." And he took the children in his arms and put his hands on them and blessed them. He said that to the people, if you don't receive the kingdom of God as one of these children, you will never enter. What is typical with a child like this? What is typical with children? One thing is that they are a little bit ignorant. Do I disturb the peace? What? No, I'm just my lovely self going around here. That's no problem. Okay? So they don't always are concerned, oh, what do people think about me if I look, is this my best side? Or something like that. No, they're just kids. Amen? And the other thing with children is that they are dependent. And here lies the key. Because the sin from the beginning was the independence from God. So when Jesus says, if you don't come into the kingdom like children, like depending on me, you will never enter. But we have get the gospel always very often so backward. So we are thinking we need to perform before God. Have you thought about that? We need to perform before him and show that we are spiritual enough and that we are holy enough or something like that. And then we compete. I'm a little bit more holy than you. You prayed 3 hours. I prayed 3.5. Praise God. So God loves me a little bit more. Because we don't understand. We need to perceive. We need to receive the kingdom of God as children. When a child comes to his parents and when it's food time, you know that they are parents. The child never get this moment with a little bit time when they have to reevaluate the day. Have I been good enough for this meal today, Daddy? Have I been good enough? No, they just jump over the food. They jump into the food sometimes even, and so on, because they are hungry and they are eating. That's the nature of a child. The nature of a child is that it depends on their parents. And Jesus said, if you want to come into the kingdom of God, come as children. Come as children, and depend on me. Because, and this is the point, because Jesus came to do the doing part. Amen? The whole Old Testament, with the law and everything, was with things to do. What should we do to come close to God? You have thought that thought many times, haven't you? What should I do to come close to God? How can I change my behavior? Is not behavioral change a good thing if you have a bad behavior? Absolutely. Ask your friends around you if you have a bad morning temper, if they would like you to change. And you will get the answer to that one. But we think that before God. But just stop for a while. How many things do you think in your life you have to change before God, before you are good enough to come to God. Many things. If you have just a few things, I could share some of the things with you, so you can get a lot of things. How long time do you think that will take you before you change so much so you can come before God? It will take that. Jesus gave that parable. That was also what he talked about the last English service. About this guy who was owing the king 300,000 man years of labor. That is, if you translate the 10,000 talents into our days wages, it will be a little bit less than 300,000 man years of work. If you translate it, so how long do you think it will take before you have worked on yourself in order to please God? It will take forever. And sometimes what we have done is that we have taken, if you excuse my vocabulary, we have taken the slogan of the kingdom. You know what a slogan is? Yeah. We have taken the slogan of the kingdom and changed it. Do you know what we have changed it to? We have stole it from Nike. You know Nike's slogan? Just do it. Yeah. And that's it. Come on, just do it. Just do it a little bit harder. Come on, you can do it. And they may cheer each other on and say, you can do it, come on. The slogan of the kingdom is not just do it. The slogan of the kingdom is, it is finished. The slogan of the kingdom is, it is finished. Because the Christmas celebration is the celebration of the Son of God coming to do what we never could do for ourselves. And can you imagine a Christianity? Can you imagine a Christian life with the slogan, just do it? Can you imagine how tiresome that is? Can you imagine the burden? What do I have to do now? And when you have done that to your best ability, what do I have to do next? Instead of living under the banner, it is finished. My longing for this church is that for myself as well, that everyone that comes into this church will go out from the church with a sigh. It's finished. Instead of God biting the nails and thinking, what should I do now? Woo, I hope I can make it. This was hard teaching. Oh, I had to do. It was 7 points. It was that. It was that. And No, it was that. I mean, if you have 7 keys, you will never make it. I tell you, if the lock to the door of fellowship with Christ is a door with the 7 locks, I tell you, when you have done the six ones, you have always lost the 7th. And then you have to start over again. It's not just do it. It is finished. And as children, we can just come and accept that. Which is also very hard. Because we are formed of this world and say that we have to... We have to deserve it. We have to do things so we can say, I deserve to be here. Lucky God, he has me. These other guys I don't know about, but at least he has me. That was Peter. You remember? If everyone else forsake you, if everyone else run away, Jesus, you are the lucky guy because I'm here. Yeah? It didn't last so long because we are so good to confess what we can, but we are not that good to deliver it because we are fallen people. So we can either try to earn the favor of God or we can live under the banner, it is finished. I think I know where I want to live. Yeah? It is finished. And you say, well, oh, this is just basic Christianity. Great, are you living it? In your everyday life? Are you living it? It was a little bit more silent. Okay, let's go on. What is this kingdom? Jesus continues. He gives in Mark is specialized in the kingdom terminology. I mean, the kingdom of God can be described in different ways, and it is described in different way in Mark, in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. It's sort of giving us a three-dimensional picture of the gospel, but Luke in Mark especially is talking in kingdom term. In Mark, the fourth chapter, he says, Mark 4:26, he, that is Jesus, he also said, this is what the kingdom of God is like. A man scatters seed on the ground. Night and day, whether he sleeps or gets up, the seed sprouts and grows, though he does not know how. All by itself, the soil produces grain. The soil produces grain, first stalk, then head, then full kernel in the head. As soon as the grain is ripe, he puts the sickles to it, because the harvest has come. I like so many parts of this verse. First of all, it looks like you're allowed to sleep. That is really good news. But because it says, whether he sleeps or gets up. Amen? If you have this just do it mentality, you don't have time to sleep. Because, I mean, you need to work, because Antichrist is coming soon, and the mark of the beast and everything. You need to get ready. Amen? But he said, whether he sleeps or gets up, something happens. And then the other part I like. Though he does not know how. Do you understand the gospel? Do you understand the kingdom of God? No, not fully. But the thing is, it works, even though I don't understand every part of it. It says, all by itself, the soil produces grain. This is the gospel of Jesus Christ. All by itself, the soil produces grain. All by itself. The gospel is not you doing. The gospel is he did. All by itself, the soil produces grain. That means that the kingdom of God in you produces the fruit. The kingdom of God is not you working. The kingdom of God is he is working on you, your behalf. If the seed is planted in the soil takes care of the rest. Amen. If you are planted in the kingdom of God, if you have received him as your Lord and Savior, if you have said, I don't understand everything, I don't succeed with everything, but God, I receive by faith what Jesus Christ has done for me, then your seed, you are planted in the good soil. You are planted where God will grow you. Amen? We'll talk about this more this afternoon also. So I'm so full of this. But God will grow you. The kingdom is not like this world. The kingdom is not this world's mentality. People are running around without peace, looking in all the wrong places. And not only, as I said, not only outside the church, but also inside the church, there's one place to look. And that is in the gospel. That is in the gospel of Jesus Christ. You should not just receive the gospel and then grow on. You should grow into the gospel. You should grow into the understanding what Jesus Christ has done on your behalf. Because therein lies your salvation. Therein is the life of Christ in you. And actually, as the picture is, a seed that is growing, so will the kingdom of God grow on the inside of you. And the kingdom of God, when it grows, it will also take care of the bad things in you. It will also take care, because that is the nature. When a tree grows, it expands. Amen. When you receive Christ, it's like a seed planted on the inside of you. But if you remain, notice that word, if you remain in Him and His word remains in you, you will bear much fruit. Because without Him, you can do nothing. This is so crazy, because these are songs that we are singing. It's like statements that we are making. But this is the reality we should be experiencing. Remaining in Him. Not let the anxiety, not let the worries of the world get the best of us. But remain. This is a battle. It's a battle of the mind, because we so easily want to solve. We need to solve these things that we see now in our lives, and we are taking measures and we are taking things into our own hand. But if you remain in Him, and my word remains in you, you will bear much fruit. Have you seen an apple tree? Have you seen an apple tree in the summer, in the spring, especially here? Have you seen it? I mean, the mission of the apple tree is to bear apples. Am I right? But in the spring, it has totally missed its purpose, because all you see is flowers. Have you seen it? I mean, you should go to the apple tree and try to correct it. No, that was not the intention. And if you go close, there are bees and stuff. Yeah, so you can get stung, and it looks bad, and it gets worse. Because after the flower, the flower leaves, whatever, the flower things, the nice part of the flower, it falls off. And remaining does this small, ugly thing. If you try to eat that, it's terrible. So you should tell the apple tree, oh, come on, you are in the wrong business. We should, and then put another one in its place. But I don't know about you. I don't know if you go and speak to trees. It's a dangerous thing. If you go and speak to the trees here in town, it can come to and then you're going into a sort of institution for a while, resting up. But if you were speaking to a tree, if the tree would answer back to you, it would not say, I know, it's crisis, what should I do? And then you said, try harder. And then the apple said, okay. Nothing happens. And I said, oh, you are in sin. Or something like that. The apple tree would answer back to you, relax, baby. It's under control. Yeah? It would say, aren't my flowers beautiful? This is a season. But I know that autumn is coming. It does not come now. But I know it's coming. And come back in the autumn and taste my apples. They are so sweet. But they are sweet because it took a while. It took a while for them to be ripe. It's the same thing with the kingdom of God in our lives. If you remain by faith, what is... Okay, there are so many trigger words in our Christian world. And all when I say a word, I just see many, oh, faith. Oh, what was that? Oh, no, I don't have enough faith. I need to have more faith. And then you say, now I have a little bit more faith. What is faith? I mean, if you look at Christianity for the past 10, 15, 20, 30 years, faith has been debated, and you don't have much faith, and if you have faith, God will give you a Mercedes Benz or something like that. What is faith? Faith is to believe that Christ is enough for me. That is faith. Why could faith be the size of a mustard seed? Why could faith, how could it be insufficient with just a mustard seed of faith in my life? It was because to what the faith was directed towards. The faith that Christ is enough for me. I don't need much faith to believe that, do you? That Christ is enough? That Christ can manage it. So if you remain in him by faith, you will bear much fruit. God will be working in you if you let him. God does not work with a whip. He works by nurturing you. He works by giving you the thing that you need. And when you are planted in him, all by itself, the soil produces grain. It doesn't even know how. But I'm planted. My part is to give up my part. My part is to give up and say, I'm planted in you, Jesus. Remain there by faith. And in the autumn, the apples are there. Do you know when your autumn is? The first answer is no, you don't. A part of the autumn in your life will not even be on this side of eternity. Because as Christians, we believe in a great autumn. As Christians, we believe that there will be an autumn when Christ is coming back and all the imperfection is changed to perfection. And it once again goes back to the original intent, the original plan that God had. That is the time when the Bible says he will wipe away all the tears from our eyes. Because the Bible knows, God knows, that there are a lot of tears on this side of eternity because of the fall. God knows that even you as a Christian will have plenty of tears, will experience setbacks. That's not something foreign to God. He's not, oh, now you have a bad spot, I cannot be with you. He knows who you are. He knows that we are dust, the Bible says. He knows that, and he's perfect all right with it, and he works with you until that day that Paul is talking about, when everything will be renewed. Perhaps you will have some autumn also on this side. Perhaps you will have some fruit of this. I believe so, absolutely. I believe that God is working on you. I believe that God is working on me. But God is not in a hurry. The only thing he wants for you is to receive the kingdom of God by faith, by remaining in him. Let us pray together. Heavenly Father, we just thank you. Father, you see in this auditorium here, you see all the people history that is represented here. You see that we are coming from different places. You see our backgrounds. You see the imperfection. You see the things that went the way it should not have gone. You see the hurt. You see the loss. You see sometimes also the emptiness. But Jesus, you come also into this auditorium and proclaiming the kingdom of God has come. The kingdom of God is now. Repent and believe the gospel. Father, together we just repent. We repent from our own ways, our own path. And Father, we give our lives back to you. Father, we believe that you, Jesus Christ, that came to this world, we believe that you are enough. We believe your words when you say it's finished. We believe that and we receive that as the word for our lives. Father, let us live under the banner, it's finished. Let us live under the completed work of Jesus Christ. Let us live with the fact that the path to you, Father God, is now open and available through the blood of Jesus Christ. It's available for each and every one of us. Father, we receive your kingdom. Let it be planted, let it be rooted on the inside of us. Give us the grace to remain in you. Give us the grace not to run out of you, not to run our own ways, but give us grace to remain in you, so the good soil, so the good nurture, so the good consequences of your kingdom, of your splendor, of your glory can start to saturate us. For we have been saturated with so many other things. Things that have not created your intent in our life, but things that have created so many other things. And so much hurt, so much loss has been the consequence. Father, I ask that you will give us the grace to be rooted in you, to be saturated by the kingdom of your Son, Jesus Christ, that gives us a future and a hope. Father, we bless your name. I bless each and everyone here. I ask that you will come down in our lives this Christmas time. You will come down and once again assure us that you are God and we are not. That you are the Alpha and Omega, also not only in history, but also in our lives. When our path is finished, I thank you that you will be the victorious one that put an end to our history, and you will continue our history together with you in eternity. Father, for this we long, for this we hope, and our hope is not in vain because you have promised it. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen.